Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Robert Negowesco.
And today is April 2nd, 2022, and we are back from our long, long break.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It has been a minute. So thanks for holding out with us. I had COVID, and I needed a break. And so we're going to start our season. I believe this is actually season four now. So welcome to season four of Escapist Comics Podcast.
I didn't even know there were seasons.
There were
awesome.
Seasons. Yeah.
Okay. So I came in like I'm a mid third season recurring character that's been written onto the show.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
The thing that has happened. Yeah. So yes, welcome to our newly formed season.
Yeah, we're here.
Somewhat healthy, I guess. Somewhat.
We're back. We're back on it.
Yes.
We got a big old stack of comics taller than multiple human beings to get through.
Yeah, they're all really thick. There are some thick comics this week.
Yeah,
And a lot of news and a lot of things happened this week. Some things we're not going to talk about, things we are going to talk about. But let's start with the comics.
Heck yeah.
Hulk Grand Design Monster? No, Grand Design.
It's Monster. Yeah.
Okay. Number one from Jim Rugg came out from Marvel this week. This is kind of Jim Rugg's history.
Reimagining and history of the Incredible Hulk. You know, they did the Grand Design. Ed Piskor did the X-Men Grand Design. Then Tom Scioli did the Fantastic Four Grand Design. And now we got Hulk. So the Pittsburgh boys are doing the Grand Designs. And I'm sure this is going to keep going.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed this.
Super fun.
It was really fun. And like, you know what I really liked about this most was I feel like you could actually give this to like a kid.
Totally.
And they like would totally understand like everything that was going on with the Hulk. And it wasn't boring. It wasn't like a boring history lesson of like the Marvel universe at all.
No. He jumps around with like the style in such a great way. Like, Jim Rugg is like, that's like, his style is almost like DJ, like I can bring in any style, like that kind of is the Jim Rugg thing. I mean, you can see the stuff where you're like, that's Jim Rugg, but he just pulls all these influences and it's so cool to see it like jump from style to style as he moves through the history, like, and how it's depicted, you know, like, it'll be like a black and white, like looks like it's from like the newspaper strip or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it jumps into like, oh, that looks like an ad, you know?
So you get like a little bit of Kirby in the beginning, and then you get like a little bit of Ditko, and then like Herb Trimpe, you get like Marie Severing, you get like everybody. And so like, even if you don't know who those artists are, it makes you almost want to like go back and look them up because it's so interesting. like the way he depicts them. And it's like definitely really like collagey and like almost like stickers, like that he just, that like, yeah, like a, almost like a childlike interest, you know, that makes you, that I think a kid would like really dig, you know.
I really think so. I mean, I think this is definitely like, when I say like all ages, like this is just fun. And I, what I really like is that he kept the, like the cleanness of old comics.
Yeah.
You know, like when Ed did Grand Design, it looks like an Ed Piskor comic, which is, which is cool. That's fine. Tom Scioli, it looks like that. This, like, it looks like a Jim Rugg comic, but it, it's so clean, like, you know, 60s, 70s comics are, where not, you know, there are backgrounds. He's not, you know, doing Image Comics, like no backgrounds, but it's like, you don't need one all the time. You honestly rarely need one.
Yeah.
And it kind of does that. So it reads so, I think, really well.
Oh yeah. It was a breeze to get through this. Which with a lot of like history, you know, comics, it takes a while. And sometimes you want to put it down and they're like, oh, I'll come back to this later. But it was so interesting to look at, especially like there's a lot of my favorite thing, a lot of eyes popping open.
Yeah.
Even just like on the first page.
Definitely.
It's just really cool looking.
Some of them are so good. Like the one on the wedding page, like there's like this close up of the eyes. And it's just so like vein bulging, like so intense, just like I cannot help but be like, you know, like feel like a little kid when I'm reading the comic, just like I would have loved this.
Yeah. And there's a lot of emotion in it too, because a lot with the Hulk is Hulk feels really lonely and he feels like an outcast, right? Which a lot of kids can feel like too. And he really just brings that forward with, you know, every like every year of the Hulk or every like part of the Hulk.
He showcases the sadness. Yeah. I mean, that is honestly most of these heroes' lives in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But I think Jim Rugg, does a good job of like, he puts a lot of empathy in his books, like Street Angel, like, you know, she's homeless and like, it doesn't ever make that, like that's not a shortcoming to her, you know, but it's like it's still there and there is an ache while it doesn't like, you know, dwell in it, it's there, right? And I think that's the same thing here, like this has to be fun and it is, but there is like a, you know, some pain in there. I mean, it's just not, you don't want to be the Hulk. No one wants to be the Hulk.
Because he's still he's definitely an outcast and he's a sad guy. He's definitely lonely. Everyone always treats him like an outcast. And he really brings that forward. And he loves a lot, but he loses a lot, right? And then that also, with another great thing about this is just that the paper quality makes it look like an old comic, right? He does this kind of like brown old like paper stock, which I thought was really cool. And Ed does that too. And they did that too with the Fantastic Four one, right? Tom Scioli.
He did. Jim is like mixing it around even more because like they'll be clean, unaged looking images on a page that's aged. Some pages aren't aged. It's all like it's just way visually interesting. And like on it, I mean, this is a super cool comic. Yeah. But we know this will be printed as a treasury size. And it's like, this thing is going to be a cool treasury book to like flip through and like, or give to people, you know, like very easy entry level comic. Like if someone's never read a comic, they can read this. This could be their first comic, period.
Oh yeah, absolutely. One of my favorites too, is when he introduces Dr. Strange, later on, and you know, because we have the Doctor Strange movie coming up too, and he does a lot of that mixed media and it almost looks like a kid has drawn the panels of it as well. He has like the Hulk raging out like on an apartment and you have like a little Thor up in it, and it reminds me of like a kid drawing it at like, you know, probably like when they're 8 years old. And like something like maybe I would have even drawn when I was a kid.
I mean, I feel like one of the panels that sums the whole book up is like the one where the Hulk and Rocket Raccoon are like in space. And it's like, despite their efforts, Hulk survives. He teams up with Rocket Raccoon to fight killer clowns. And it's like, asterisk, cyborg assassins. Like, they're cyborg assassins. They just look like clowns and they're like flying in space and stuff. And it's just like chaos and madness. And
yeah, it's so creepy too.
Yeah. I kind of remember that. At least I remember that cover or something.
Yeah.
I remember those clowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, it was really interesting when I was reading through this. Like, I definitely read a lot of Hulk when I was younger, but when I was going through this, it just brought up so many memories. And I was like, wow, I did not realize how much I remembered until I read this comic, which was great, you know? And that's what this is supposed to bring out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If you've read the stuff,
yeah,
you know, it'll recall that. And if you never have, it's a million introductions, mm-hmm. you know, to it. Exactly. I mean, there's all of it's so good. Like the page with the Secret Wars is like I got like chills when I read it. It's so good because it's like they're so tiny down there. It's like 50 billion tons of rock. Hulk stands strong as the other here as the heroes can blast their way out. Like,
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, and then like the rampaging Hulk, which probably a lot of people aren't familiar with as well.
Like the black and white magazine for people.
Yeah, yeah. And if you guys haven't read those, like that's definitely something to search out.
Definitely,
we have them at the store too. And I'm not sure if they're collected. Probably not at this point. I think
there might have been essentials of them. I mean, we might even have those.
We might have those.
Which, which is a good one to grab because they were black and white to begin with, so no loss of color in the reprint. But
yeah, and that's a lot of like I think of Trimpy and Buscema to like Sal Buscema, a lot of those,
and a little more mature, right?
Yeah, definitely a lot more mature. Yeah,
yeah, which is it's cool.
Yeah, and like battles with like Machine Man and all of that.
Oh, it's so fun. I mean, every page is just like ballistic action or like just, I mean, just magic, just like comics magic. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Super stoked on this.
Yeah. And like the one more page I wanted to point out too was, of course, he had to bring in the Hulk 181 cover.
Oh, yeah.
Where again, it looks like something he probably like might have did when he was like a kid or a teenager.
Yeah, and it's the like, ballpoint.
Yeah, with ballpoint and color pencils, and it's just so great.
Yeah, so cool. So because it's like everyone's familiar with that, everyone's overly familiar with that, and it's like, how do you depict that? Like, yeah, it does make it feel like if 16-year-old Jim was a comics master, he would have made this same book, kind of.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a really magical book for sure.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. Like, definitely pick this up. Especially if you're a fan of the Hulk. Even if you're not, if you have a kid that maybe you want to introduce comics to, you're not quite sure how to do it. Like, this is a great introduction into comics.
Totally. And it has the like the other ones, the reference page in the back, like kind of a glossary where it goes page by page and is like, you know, page 13, the Silver Surfer encountered the Hulk in Tales to Astonish 92 to 93. So it's like if you are stoked about a piece of this story, it tells you exactly what book to look up, which is, I think it's great.
Yeah, it's a great bibliography.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, and then this is going to be how many issues is this?
Just one more, I think.
Four issues, yeah.
No, I think it's just isn't it just Hulk Grand Design Monster and then Madness? I think
just two issues, not four like the other ones.
I think the Tom Scioli one was two issues also, which makes the one book.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I know. I want a few of these, but Jim Rugg's versatile enough. I don't think he'll do another Grand Design, but I'd take it.
A lot of work. Yeah.
I'd still take it though.
Yeah, I would take four more, three more.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, pick up. Yeah, he did jam a lot. When I got to the end of this, I was like, wow, that was a lot in one issue. Like he already made it to. Like, but he gets past the Secret Wars and then.
Yeah, it's up through the 80s.
Up through the 80s in this one. So I guess, I mean, there's still quite a lot to do after that, but.
Well, then after that, it's like the identity crisis stuff.
Right.
Where it's like, he's gray, he's green, he's smart. There's a little bit of that in here, but it's like, that's when they start experimenting with like, well, who is Hulk?
Yeah, he's going to go through all the McFarlane stuff after that. Yeah. And then
That'll be fun.
Thousands. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess one more issue is probably he put that much in there. So,
yeah. And then World War Hulk, it's got to be in the next Hulk. One.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's Hulk Grand Design Monster. And then Madness comes out next month.
Yep. All right, moving on to DC. We have I have a $6.99 because I got the variant. $5.99. I know. These are not, this last one we just read too was $5.99. Comics are a little pricey these days. Grand Design was very big. I mean, that was the page numbers.
And packed. Like every page is three pages.
It took me a long time to read that. You know, it wasn't like a short, read.
No, I've been reading like old comics lately and it's like, it's the same pace. It was like that sort of Chris Claremont X-Men where I'm like, I'm spending a little bit on these pages. Like,
oh yeah, Stan Lee too. He had a lot to say.
yeah. Definitely. But that Shadow War Alpha is what we're talking about.
Alpha number one. This is going to be a big crossover event. This is Joshua Williamson. And oh God, I'm going to totally ruin this guy's name. Oh no, it's Bedogovich. I know his name. Never mind. Just kidding. And what's his first?
Henriquez and Spicer.
Victor Bedogovich. Yeah. Daniel Henriquez on ink and Mike Spicer on colors. Let's get into this. So this is like a Batman / Deathstroke crossover.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't know anything that was going on with this with the Deathstroke stuff.
We didn't read. Let's preface this with we haven't been reading a lot of this Batman stuff recently, right?
No, and this does not make me want to read more.
I also was told that this was a very good comic before we read this.
Oops.
And when I opened it, I was excited because I like Victor Bedogovich. I think his art is very, very good.
Yes.
Capullo. Like the art is very Capullo influenced, right?
Definitely. I do like how he depicts the things, what the sin to me in the art is only that there's a lot of static there. It's not all the time and it's not as much as a lot of newer comics, but there is a lot of like just standing around talking sort of stuff. And when there is movement, it's more stiff than a Capullo who is like, I mean, Capullo is amazing. Like,
yeah. I mean, like even the eyes to me, like if I, there was another comic that came out, We Are Demons, last week. That's Scott Snyder and Capullo's like new comic from Dark Horse. Oh, okay. And like, if you compare these, it literally looks like
Capullo's
eyes. Like this guy is super influenced by him.
Yeah, yeah. I have like the Spawn compendium, like the black and white one, and it's like Capullo jumps in that, and it. It's the same thing, even though that was like from the 90s. Those eyes are unmistakable. I don't know how, but definitely.
Yeah. When I opened this, I was like, oh, this looks pretty good. It's like, I'll check this out. Or maybe we have like a new guy in town. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, but I also was a little weary because I have never, and I'm sorry to say this, but I have never been a fan of Joshua Williamson. He's never been in my writer's corner, ever since he was like a breakout star for Image with Nailbiter.
I'm mostly unfamiliar with it, I think, as far as I know. I did not read Nailbiter. I don't know. The story is where this really falls very short for me, which is like, it's like, what if Ra's al Ghul was not a bad guy, and it's like,
but it's canon.
Yeah, no, I know, which is, I think it's kind of just this thing that happens. And I think it was like Chris Claremont did it with Magneto first, where it's like, okay, Magneto was a villain. Now he's a gray figure.
Right.
But what's happened is almost every villain is now a gray figure.
Right.
It's like only like what Joker, you know? And it's like, yeah. It's like that guy's evil incarnate, you know? And a lot of these villains that are like Ra's al Ghul is super evil. Like, what are we talking
about? Very evil. Yeah.
And he's like, what if he just woke up one day and was like, I tried everything else. Time to be a good guy.
Yeah. It's like, but I was trying to be good the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course he doesn't think he's evil. Right. But it's like, it just, I don't know. It's because of all the other comics that sort of thing irritates me, where it's like, I've seen them all become, Dr. Doom is pretty like gray now, you know, like all of them. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of the major bad guys have tried to be good, I guess, at some point. Yeah.
But I mean, a big thing happens in it, right? I mean, are we doing spoilers?
Yeah, I mean, might as well. It's not very good. So,
well, yeah. I mean, he does like kill Ra's al Ghul, and it seems, at least it in comics terms, like seems,
yeah,
that he's definite. Really done.
Right. Yeah. So, if anyone's not, you know, reading that or listening to this, and they're not familiar, Ra's al Ghul obviously has a Lazarus pit.
Yeah.
And the Lazarus pit constantly brings him back to life. So if he dies, he can just get into the Lazarus, or somebody, one of his, you know, goonies, like brings him into the Lazarus pit and brings him back to life. So, and same with his daughter, Talia, just puts her in the Lazarus pit, brings him back to life.
Yeah, he's thousands of years old.
Yeah. And so yeah, that's his thing. But this time, Deathstroke supposedly shoots him while he's making this speech about how he wants to change the world, and he's made all these mistakes and he's really sorry and blah blah blah, and he's doing this in at a news conference, and he Deathstroke shoots him in the head and then blows him up.
Yeah, it's like a straight up assassination.
It's an assassination. Yeah. And Robin, Damian, Batman's son, is watching all of this, tries to save him, and it's like 1 second before he's about to be blown up, and Batman stops Damian from being able to save him.
Because his grandfather.
Yes, his grandfather.
Yeah. And they do make a special point to be like, there's no trace. Like, you see, it's like he's disintegrated.
Right.
It's just like, there's cool elements. It just it didn't hold together for me. It did not hook me, which is what this is supposed to do. Cause it's like continued in the pages of Batman
122 or something. Right.
Yeah. 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 To be continued in Batman 122 out next week, but it's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. So basically, yeah, Talia also, you know, she wants to avenge him, and I think that's where it lost me. I was okay at the beginning. You know, I was like, okay, this is kind of an interesting story. Like, it's not overly wordy, which he can usually be.
Yeah, no, it was not that, no.
Yeah, and that's usually, but when they get to the part, the demon shadow, and they're going to avenge him, and she sends, like, they have a big, you know, group of all of his agents that are, like, going to, like, suddenly avenge his death, and she sends all of them after. I was like, oh, come on. Like, that's, I don't know. It just got real stupid, like, after that, I thought.
See, I like the lineup, just because I like seeing a bunch of totally crazy looking characters all together. I'm always down with that. But it is just like, oh, okay. I don't know these guys. Some of them look cool.
Yeah. Like, who's this guy who looks like the crow or like the mime? I don't know.
There's a Frankenstein. There's this guy with a red mummy head. And oh yeah, that I see the crow. Yeah, he's
everyone looks like a clown. There's like a clown girl, like a mime girl. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who
any there's of snake lady. Snake
yeah, there's lady. A snake lady. There's like this invisible Proteus looking guy
with a hook hand. Oh yeah. My god, his hand's got a hook on it.
There's an Oni person. There's that cool lady with an Oni mask as well, and she's not wearing any clothes.
It's definitely cool visuals, I think, and the coloring's really good.
Sure.
Really like vibrant stuff, but yeah, overall, my take on it is, if you already aren't reading 5 Batman titles a month, this book isn't for you. Like,
yeah, and then it also introduced me to the Deathstroke Inc. characters, who I have no interest in whatsoever. No,
I didn't know. I was like, what? That's a thing?
Yeah. Because then we find out, too, that Deathstroke, it did not do it, right?
Yeah.
Because he's been with his son, who, what's his son's name? Who's also really stupid looking. Slave. Strokey? Respawn.
No, I'm just kidding.
His son, Respawn, which is also the worst name, quite possibly, GC has ever come up with.
Respawn.
Why did they call him Reese? There's a character in Image called Spawn.
Yeah. It should have been Rajal Ghul's Respawn.
Yes.
You can't kill me. I respawn. That's weird. I don't know. I mean, I get it's like a video game term, so I guess, but it's like, but, yeah, I don't know. Oh
man, I mean, I could think of like 10 titles that would have been, or 10 more names that would have been better than Respawn.
Well, anyway, let's
Restroked.
Yeah, restroke. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least it's funny.
Yeah, strokey.
Strokey.
Little stroke. Little stroke. Know.
Little death. Yeah.
Any of them.
Yeah.
Well, that, I mean, unless you got any more to say on Shadow War Alpha.
Oh, I do. Wait. Okay. So, and the, there's in the back of the book, which has nothing to do with Shadow War Alpha, there's a Flashpoint Beyond Zero. This is a special sneak peek. So this was probably way better than the actual Shadow War Alpha. This is going to be the newest big DC book that's coming out this summer.
Oh, okay.
And it's by Jeff Johns and Eduardo Risso, which I'm actually really excited about. Also because, you know, the Flash movie is going to be coming out.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, so this is going to be a new Flash book and or Flash and Batman book. And I'm excited that Risso is going to actually be drawing a book again too. And so they're basically just combining, you know, what happened at the end of Watchmen. Sorry, what was the
one? Oh, Doomsday Clock?
Yeah, Doomsday Clock. Thank you. And then combining it with Batman, and it's actually going to be canon.
And it's Beyond.
Yes. So they're going to also combine Batman Beyond with it as well.
And the issue starts with the ad for the Batman Beyond. They're bringing that back, I guess, right? Batman Beyond Neo Year. Bruce Wayne is dead. Terry McGinnis has 1 year to defeat his killer.
Oh, that's a whole separate thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, maybe it's going to connect or something because they're just bringing Batman Beyond back.
They're really pushing Batman Beyond. Yeah. So I'm guessing they're going to be doing something with him as well, like movie wise or show wise, something.
I hope so. I mean, it's a great cartoon.
It is. Yeah. Because also Batman Beyond the White Knight came out this week as well.
And look, Michael Keaton is already working for him.
Right.
They can just do regular Batman Beyond with Michael Keaton as an old man.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and he's going to be in, obviously he's going to be in the Flash movie, right? And
yeah,
that's going to be the Flashpoint movie. And then he's also going to be in Batgirl as well. So
let's do it.
Leading up to it right there. Yeah.
I want to see Terry McGinnis on screen.
Me too.
Yeah.
So hopefully that Flashpoint will be a lot better than this book.
Than the other Michael Keaton movie that you recently watched. Stay tuned to hear more about that.
Oh, yes. We'll get into that.
We're talking about Mr. Mom. Sorry, everybody.
And Batman 89. But that was great. I did watch that yesterday.
Well, that is good. Yes.
My palette. All right. Lastly, we read
Ghost Cage.
Yeah. So friend of the store, Nick Dragata. Not friend of the store, maybe though, in someday. Caleb Gullner was the co-writer.
Yeah, I think so.
This is number one from Image Comics, also $5.99, but I think 64 pages. So
yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. It's and again, really meaty. It'll take you a while to read it. So awesome.
And it's awesome.
It's so good.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Like, I had no idea looking at the cover that it was going to be like, I mean, it's manga. It's like evoking manga.
It's totally manga. And also, I think I can announce this at somewhat at some point in the fall, Nick will be at the store to do a signing for the trade.
Oh, terrific.
Because so, you know, he used to be in town all the time because he lived in Alameda and used to do signings at the store. But now he unfortunately lives in Connecticut, I think, now again. And it's very sad, but he will be back. So fear not, everyone.
Yeah, he definitely.
Will be back to sign all of your Ghost Cage.
And this will be a cool book. I think. I hope they print. I'm hoping. I got fingers crossed. Print it manga style. Don't just do it standard image.
Do it backwards. Trade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be crazy.
That'd be so cool. Okay. Do a backwards edition.
Yeah. Or at least on the on some paper. On some. Yeah. We need some not shiny stock for this. Because, yeah, this art is like, I mean, it's screen toned all over.
Yeah, and we know Nick is a Nick is a huge manga fan. I mean, he's been on the podcast before and at our book clubs and everything. And, you know, he's like the biggest manga fan ever. So
it just adds so much. The texture on every page is like, it's just gorgeous to look at. Yeah, the story is like crazy. It's like,
it's so crazy.
Like that guy like created all. He like runs the energy of the planet, you know, which is like, you know, insert sidebar where we talk about the social ramifications of this. Right. But it's like, it's, and then there's a meltdown and he sends like a robot and one employee to clean up his like worst mistakes or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's what happens.
I guess I got like half of that is me like remembering what the log line was on the website after I read it. And then when I reread it, I was like, okay, it's definitely
And then they have to fight, right? Like,
yeah, all of them,
all of the monsters.
It's like a video game or something.
It is like a video game. Yeah, like, and they have like a little avatar.
Yeah,
a little ghost avatar,
which is very like the little fairy in Berserk,
right?
Or your little Navi in Ocarina of Time.
Yep,
you know,
the cutest little ghost guy ever.
Yeah,
like my favorite part. And yeah, they're all like really cool, different characters, and. So there's basically each monster. It's kind of like Attack on Titan or God, what's another good like manga example of what the monsters are?
Where they're like themed or something. See, like,
yeah, that's what
I thought of games more definitely. Like,
yeah,
there's the water boss and then the machine boss and then the like.
Yeah. Or like Final Fantasy or something like that. Yeah,
totally.
They're really cool and each definitely more like a video game where they're each like different style of bosses basically that they have to fight. And like, basically, so there's like the cool like engineer who has to like power up like the person that's going to fight them. Right. And she has to like fix them each round to be able to fight these bosses.
Yeah. She's a IT tech.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's like really the hero of the story, which I also think is pretty cool. Like unassuming character defeats great evil.
Yeah. It's really different from anything else that we've seen, which is really nice and really surprising and unassuming.
The whole thing top to bottom is like, and I'm like flipping through it. There is no static anything. It's just like so much movement on every panel.
Yeah,
awesome.
The most exciting thing about that for me too was since Nick used to come to our book clubs all the time, that's what he would talk about. Like when he came to the club, when we'd go through like a book, he would just be like, this is, you know, what I wanted to do personally. Like, look, we read Pluto, and he's like, this is what I want to do. I want all of my panels to move. I never want it to stop. And so like when I read this, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited for you. Like you're finally doing what you wanted to do like this whole time and took this long. And like, and then reading this, I was just like, ah, finally.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't know, even like a just full page face is immensely interesting. It's still like the energy's still there, even when there is, you know, literally sometimes things do stop moving, you know, but it's like, yeah, it's still very interesting. You know, even just a guy sitting there is super striking.
Yeah.
So like, that
That's
super cool to hear about what his intentions were.
Yeah, you like compare it to like the Batman comic, like we just read. It's just like night and day, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Face,
like there's like a page in the Batman comic and it's just like Robin like screaming and then like an explosion. Or it's like when Ra's al Ghul dies and it's just his face screaming and then it's Ra's, and then like his bones and it's, nothing is happening, right?
No, yeah, exactly.
It's just so stagnant. And then you compare it to like just one page where, even if, I know this is six panels, but like so much is happening in that six panels.
Totally.
It's crazy, like the difference.
Yeah. I mean, it is weird that we like did that one in between these two incredibly, like, because Hulk Grand Design is also just like nuts. Like both of these just, like, these are comics to buy this week. Those two, for sure. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you could just flip open to any page. Like, that's what I did randomly.
Yeah.
And the Hulk is just, like, it's insane. Like, even, like, his lettering, it's, like, Hulk screaming. And there's, like, so much stuff happening. Like, he's punching. he's flying through the air. His eyes are just, like, so much is happening. Just an expression in his eyes. And those are just in letters.
Yeah.
Like that's insane, right?
I'd say this is a good week for comics, even if these were the only two comics that came out, you know?
Oh yeah,
like, absolutely. Because it's not every week do you get like fuck yeah.
Yeah. Like,
hell yeah.
Yeah, so excited to read something. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, so I'll be picking up all of Ghost Cage for sure.
Yeah, it's three issues. And then they'll be doing a collection. And yeah, three very big issues too.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's manageable to track down and stuff. And that'll be a great collection too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super cool.
Cool. All right, so pick that up, everyone. Support your local LCS or buy it from us.
Yeah.
We'll give it to you. We have lots of copies because it's from Nick and we love Nick. And he'll definitely be on the show when we get him in the store.
Oh, that'll be great to be able to talk about this with him.
Yeah, definitely.
And is this his first, just to be, has he never not written before?
No, he hasn't. This is his first creator-owned writer.
Super cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad he has the freedom to do this stuff now. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. He's been, wanting to do this for so long. I mean, just because he's been on East of West for,
totally.
So many years. All right. So that's our comics for the week. Let's get into some news because it's been so long. There's so much stuff happening in the world.
Indeed.
Yeah. So I know it's April. Well, I'm just going to end this now. I know it's April 2nd, but originally we were going to record this yesterday, which would have been on April Fool's Day. So yesterday, Bruce Campbell, everyone's favorite jokester.
Love him.
Everyone's been wondering who he was going to be playing on the upcoming Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which will be out on May 6th. It's so soon.
That is crazy soon. Yeah,
I know, it felt like it was going to be so long and now it's only like a month away pretty much. So yesterday he posted a picture on Twitter of him sitting in a makeup chair wearing like the Doctor Strange outfit and like in the makeup and everything. And everyone like freaked out. They're like, oh my God, he's going to be a variant of Doctor Strange. And then everyone was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I mean,
April first.
Not bad casting though.
No, not bad casting at all. And like, obviously, yeah, Sam Raimi, he's definitely going to be in the movie, but like no one knows. And like, maybe he is going to be a variant, like maybe he would be like a variant of like a movie that they're making within the movie or like
anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Who knows?
He could be an Iron Man variant too. I don't know.
Iron Man variant. He could just be playing. I mean, I was thinking he would just be Ash because he's actually been in the Marvel universe as Ash before, as you know, the killing zombies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were the Marvel zombies.
Marvel zombies. Yeah.
He's met everybody.
Marvel zombies are probably going to be in it because they were in the show.
Yeah, this stuff, this movie definitely seems like they are keeping the lid on a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of weird, right? Like, you would have thought when Professor X's voice showed up, the internet would lose their shit. Yeah. But maybe they literally just need faces. Like, no one, because I didn't know the first time I watched who was. Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah. So, well, there was another article about that too, because everyone assumed also, like, oh, well, James McAvoy is also going to be in it. And then maybe. He was like, no, I'm not. But I mean, Andrew Garfield and, you know, Tobey Maguire also said they weren't going to be in Spider-Man. And obviously they were, you know.
Sure. But the speculation, right, is that, which I don't even understand how all this could be possible, but
yeah,
that this will be the send off to the X-Men universe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how is this? What is this movie? What is going on? There's like 12 stories. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes. So that is the speculation. That is definitely going to be the opening of the X-Men universe, because we're opening all of the universes. Right.
Sure.
So yeah. And the Fantastic Four and all of it.
Are we going to see Tom Cruise as Iron Man? That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy.
They could just do it in 2 days. They could get him for one day. They'd be like, yeah, we just need you on the council. You need to say like 12 lines. You're done. Send you home.
Yeah. Superior Iron Man. That's what everyone is speculating. I hope. I don't want that to happen.
only if he is the real Tom. I don't know if I've done it on this show, but I want to see Tom be his real self in movies and not hold it back.
Nothing's being crazy, Tom.
Yeah, I want it. Be true to yourself, Tom.
Oh my God. They still haven't even released Top Gun yet. So.
Yeah, I know.
Which I also saw a trailer for yesterday. Well, I'll get into that. Okay. So yeah, Bruce Campbell. We'll see. I don't know. We're just going to have to wait, obviously, just like everything else.
Just watch Army of Darkness in the meantime, everybody.
Yeah, just watch all of his other great movies, which is Evil Dead.
Or Dark Man, where he shows up at the very end.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. He comes in all of the Sam Raimi movies.
You got it. Just like his car. His car is in all of them, too.
Wait, which car?
The yellow Cutlass or whatever from
Dead.
It's in every one of his movies, even his Western. He disguised it as a wagon.
Did he really?
Yeah, it's in every movie. It's Uncle Ben's car in Spider-Man.
Shit.
Every single movie. It's pretty cool. So it'll be in this too.
Okay, so next up, basically, okay, I got this article from Screen Rant. We'll just put that out right now. Most of the things I'm getting right now are from Screen Rant or CBR, or of course, as always, Wikipedia. Thank you, Wikipedia. We always support you.
Yeah.
They put out an article basically saying all the best movies coming up from 2022. And then literally in the article, it was like most of the movies were coming up from 2023 or 2024. But
yeah.
There's some great movies coming out. I saw a movie yesterday that was not great. We'll get into that a little bit later, but
sure.
The best trailer I saw yesterday was definitely Spider-Verse, the new Spider-Verse movie. I saw the trailer originally at home. You know, we've all watched it on YouTube probably, but seeing it in the theaters, I literally cried. Like,
I bet. Trailer
was amazing in theaters. Like, it's a different experience.
I believe it. I will always remember, and it was, I mean, whatever. I thought the movie was fun, but when I saw Venom and then the post credits stinger for Venom was just the ad for that. And I also teared up when I saw that, because I was like, they made comic, like they're real. And then spoiler, that movie delivered on all of that, you know. It's like the best movie ever.
Yeah, and this one was the same thing. This trailer, it just looks like a comic, even more so
yeah
than the other one. Like he like falls, you know, I'm sure you've watched the trailer too. Like he falls even deeper into the Spider-Verse and he meets Spider-Man 2099 and it's just like, what is happening?
And the visual style
exploding into comicdom, like,
and the changing visual style. I'm like, yeah, the most stoked about that. It's I mean, it's honestly, it's like the Jim Rugg thing or something, right, where it's like, you can do this in a big budget feature though, through the multiverse. You can make a world look different on like every component of it.
Yeah.
Which that's the most exciting.
Yeah. If you're a comic fan, just go find a movie that's showing that trailer and go watch that.
Yeah. And then IMAX when it does come out.
Definitely seeing that. I definitely want to go see that in IMAX because that's amazing.
Yeah. More than even any of these live action ones. That's for me what I want.
Apparently Indiana Jones is making its way back into our lives. They're
crazy.
Saying, I know. Harrison Ford is edging towards 80 years old.
Yeah.
They're saying it's coming out next year. I don't believe them, but that's happening. Blade also, they're saying is coming out. I guess. I don't know.
I mean, he got a stinger at least, right? It was, Eternals or was that Shang-Chi? Shang-Chi.
No, it was Eternals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't comic really related, but I think we should mention it. I'm just going through a list of movies that are exciting. Renfield, April 14th, 2023. So have you heard of this one, Robert?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Directed by the Lego Batman movies, Chris McKay, based upon a story, I guess this is comic related, by Robert Kirkman of The Walking Dead fame and comics fame.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. This offers a humorous take on The Legend of Dracula, starring Nicholas Hoult as Renfield and Nicolas Cage as Dracula.
His return to the big budget filmmaking.
Yes. Right. Finally.
I can't wait. I want to see him go nuts.
Me too. Did you know he was just doing all of those VOD movies to pay off his debts?
I didn't know this.
Yeah. So that's what he said. He said he was just doing all of those movies, but he wasn't like compromising his acting or anything. He said he was just doing it though to pay off all of his shitty debt that he had.
He's a very interesting actor. I mean, this is like, there's a YouTube account I watch in praise of Shadows and he does like video essays. Mm-hmm. And while making comics, I watched like a 3-hour thing about Nicolas Cage, I was like, did I just do that?
Was that 3 hours like, long?
It is crazy long. I mean, I didn't in one sitting, but like while working, it was on in the background and it's like, he's a super fascinating character and like how his acting style just doesn't mesh with like realism. So people are like, he's not a good actor, but it's like, he's just doing something else. It's really fascinating.
I mean, he's definitely an actor.
but you know, the internet has not been kind to him in the past 15 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think he's going for it. And it's like, definitely, anyone who goes for it, you know, thumbs up.
Good for him. I'm looking forward to the Dracula movie. Or Renfield.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Looks interesting. Oh, and Awkwafina is playing the romantic interest of Renfield. And I love Awkwafina. He is my hero. Okay. The Flash is coming out June 23rd, 2023, which I can't believe that's coming out next year. I thought that was coming out this year. But Ezra Miller is having some legal problems.
Oh, no.
Ezra Miller was just arrested in Hawaii. He apparently was at a karaoke bar and he decided he didn't want people singing karaoke.
Oh my god,
bar, people do that. Yeah. And he assaulted a woman and took the microphone away from her. They like didn't call the police yet, and then he assaulted a man that was also there, and then finally they called the police on him and he was arrested. He goes by they, but yeah, so they arrested him and he was booked on assault charges and later posted bail. And now they are fine.
Wow.
But yeah, they are having a lot of issues. So,
well, I hope things are okay. I hope the Flash didn't rub off on you, because, you know, the Flash would be a jerk because everyone's a, it's a gallery of statues, I think, is how Alan Moore wrote the Flash's existence, an endless gallery of statues. So that lady was singing for like 40 hours.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I was like, Barry Allen's a good person.
No, I know.
Maybe it should come off on them. Like,
horrible joke.
Okay, got it. Yeah, maybe it was like a really bad song.
I don't know. I've seen some bad karaoke's, but I never wanted to enact violence.
No, it's true. But like, maybe it was really bad.
I don't know.
They don't take shit in Hawaii, though. I do know that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't fuck around. They were like, I had a friend, they were telling me the story the other day. Like, I think they were in Hilo, and their friend got kicked out of a bar for being a shithead, and they weren't allowed in any other bars in the entire city of Hilo. Whoa. The rest of the time they were there.
They like communicated?
Yeah, they communicate with each other there.
Like all points bulletin. Yep. Whoa.
Yeah. So like, don't fuck around in Hawaii. And it was like their honeymoon, I think, too.
I wasn't gonna. I'll go. I'll be chill.
Just letting you know. The Northman comes out April 15th. That's very soon. If you're not familiar, The Northman is Robert Eggers, who did The Lighthouse and The Witch.
Yes. And this is his third movie, and I'm there.
I am also there. It looks very exciting. So it's a, you know, Viking thriller, I guess. I don't know. Viking,
I don't know. I just know people are going to be talking crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be nuts.
Authentic Viking language.
Yeah. Authentic Viking movie, I guess. Sure. And then the one I'm most excited about probably is Nope. From Jordan Peele. It comes out July 22nd, 2022, which is my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. So, I mean, we didn't know much about this movie until recently. The trailer came out last month, I want to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jordan Peele doesn't really release much about his movies. Even this trailer, like, you still can't really tell what's going on.
Which is fine.
Yeah, which is great, actually. I mean, we don't want to know. Like, they recently released a new trailer for Firestarter, which, I mean, it's Firestarter, so you kind of know what's happening, sure. Right? Because there's already been a movie and a book. But, like, most people these days haven't seen a lot of original or read the book.
No.
Literally, the entire movie is in this trailer.
Oh, everything happens.
It's 3 minutes long, and it's the entire movie. And I'm like, beginning to end, I know, like, you know everything that happens. Okay, cool.
I was in the theater once and they played some movie that looks like total, I mean, just like lame feel good movie about like a dog who gets lost. Uh-huh. But it literally was the whole movie.
Yeah, I remember. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And the whole theater was like, come on, that's the what? Like, like, I've never heard a reaction like that in my life. Like, the, like, you know, even a normie, like, who doesn't criticize this stuff, was like, what the heck? That's the whole movie. Don't do that.
I actually remember being in that theater watching that same trailer, and the same thing happened at the movie that I was seeing. You're like, what the fuck? That wasn't what?
It makes me miss, like, I don't know. I'll see them on like DVDs and stuff, but like old trailers where it's like, hello, my name's Robert Altman. The film you are going to go see is, and it's just like him standing there telling you like about the movie or whatever. And you're like, and it's like, I'm going to show you some scenes now, be warned. Like, and then it's like, you see maybe some of it. It's like mystery. How about some mystery?
Right. That's what I want out of like a horror or thriller or something. I just want some mystery.
Definitely.
What Nope gives you is some mystery. It takes place on like a California ranch or like horse ranch, which also exciting since I used to, you know,
train ride horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's out somewhere outside of Hollywood because they're a film family and they have been since the beginning because it's like her great, 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 great. There's an extra great in there or whatever.
Yeah.
Her grandfather was the man who the very first shot film.
Yeah, there was the first black, they said their first black family that trained Hollywood like horse, right? Horses or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that, but also like they show the actual, you know, that the, that,
oh yeah, the clip in the beginning.
That's the first moving picture.
Right.
Yeah. Of all time. And it, so it's like a black man was the first human being on in a moving picture, period.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like nobody, I went to film school, nobody's ever said that. You know, nobody ever talked about that.
Yeah. I'm sure they didn't. Yeah. So then there's like these weird clouds that kind of like form over the ranch, right? And everyone's like speculating that it's like UFOs. It feels like it's going to be like an alien related movie of some sort. But also it's going to have to be like something on a social commentary, right? Because that's absolutely what all of his movies are about. And we see like horses getting like shot up into the sky. Like she gets shot, like the main actress gets shot up into the sky. All sorts of like weird, creepy things happen, but they don't show you much. But that's the perfect kind of trailer. It makes you want to see what's going to happen next.
There's like a bloody chimpanzee given knuckles to like a little kid, like that shot. I'm just like, what's going on?
Oh yeah, the girl with like the hat, and then she like creeps her head up, and she's got like a sunken in like skeletal face, and I'm like, whoa, what is that?
She looks like the lady from Mortal Kombat or something. Oh, yeah. messed up face. And yeah, it's got Keke Palmer is the lead, and then Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out. Returning, and then super cool Steven Yeun. Really exciting. I think he's an incredible actor, so
super good. Also, this is crazy, in this we were talking about Fantastic Four earlier. They have announced that Fantastic Four will be part of Marvel Phase 5. Official. But that's it. That's all they say. They have the logo.
And we know the director.
No, nothing else.
Well, we know the director. They announced that a while ago. That's what's his name? Who did all the Spider-Mans, the Homecoming, and
Oh yeah. That's right. He will be, what's his face? I don't know.
Apologies, guy.
Yeah.
You're doing pretty good, so I think you'll
He's
be
doing
okay.
Pretty well. So
But that, I mean, that'll be cool, right? Because the next, there's going to be another trilogy of Tom Holland Spider-Man movies with different directors, because it's going to be a different trilogy. It's a different tone. And then this guy can go and make a Fantastic Four trilogy, but you can't do a trilogy. It has to be four movies.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to, but you kind of gotta, right?
Yes.
You don't do a three-issue miniseries with the Fantastic Four. You make it four, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Moving on. So a latest Captain Marvel 2 casting has hit. So there's major Silver Surfer implications as an actor for the upcoming Captain Marvel sequel. The Marvels appears to be playing a character. Actor Colin Stoneley shared his resume on Mandy.com, whatever the hell that is. Let's see. One of the roles listed as Pap-ton, who is a Kree scientist. The character is one adapted from Marvel lore, but he's kind of an obscure one. So he was made in a single appearance as a 1987 as a scientist experimenting on the Silver Surfer's cosmic board, while the Surfer himself was held captive by the Kree leader, the Supreme Intelligence. So this happens like all the time, basically, in all the movies. They like take like a really obscure character, right, and like shove him in there. But it is kind of like interesting that it is a character that worked on, you know, or worked with the Silver Surfer.
And if he only had the one appearance.
You know, he had the one appearance and had to do with the Silver Surfer, right?
So it's like, why even
why would they do that? Yeah.
Which would also, I mean, of course it makes sense. Captain Marvel is a cosmic character.
Yeah.
We have not seen that corner of the cosmic universe at all. Fantastic Four are not here yet. So it's like, bring Silver Surfer in. He doesn't come to Earth yet. right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, maybe he does, but
yeah,
you know, he doesn't have to. And then he can still meet the Fantastic Four.
Right.
And they won't necessarily know about him.
Yeah.
They don't know Carol.
Yeah. It doesn't make any other sense. Like, wait, why otherwise? But I mean, the only thing I can think of is like, we're also, I mean, if we both watched, Moon Knight too.
Yeah.
And they also bring characters in there too that like they've only used once ever.
Yeah. Is that like Ethan Hawke's character or something?
Yeah. Yeah. He was in one issue of Moon Knight ever. And they just basically use his name. Hmm. I mean, so far as we can tell, and change his character completely. So you never know.
If I was Ethan Hawke, I'd be like, hey, give me someone with more appearances. Because mm-hmm. that character was really cool. I liked that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
The judgment and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're, I mean, it kind of looks like they're combining his character with another character, like the sun god character, maybe.
They do that too. I mean, they're never going to, we know for a fact they will never straight up adapt any comic. That's never going to happen. They're always going to mix and match stuff. And that's probably for the better, because then we don't know what the hell's going on either. You know?
Exactly.
Let alone the random person who's never read a comic.
Exactly. Yeah. And they don't want people to spoil it completely either. I mean, totally. That's the thing. If like if you can figure it out through like one trailer or whatever, then everyone's just going to go on and spoil it. And that's the last thing like Disney/Marvel wants to happen, right? If someone does spoil it immediately. So.
Yeah, no. Cool though, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. All right, before I get into my terrible Morbius review, which is gonna happen very soon, spoiler alert, Bill Skarsgård has been tapped to play the Crow in what marks some major momentum for the long-awaited reboot. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Whoa. That was a surprise to you, huh?
Yeah, I had no idea. That is like pretty awesome casting.
It is good casting. Does it need to happen? I don't know, but
no, I mean probably not, but yeah, if you were gonna do a new Crow, that's the guy, because he's gonna do that grin, that weird grin that the Crow has. And absolutely. I mean, he's a great actor, and that's like a really sad story.
Yeah. And I, you know what, I'm glad to see him play somebody that's not just like full out evil.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Crow's like a sad figure, and it's based on James O'Barr's real life. His girlfriend was murdered.
Yeah.
And he poured all that into that comic. So.
Yeah. And it'll be nice to see him play someone with more emotion and not just like murder emotion.
Yeah. I mean, he was a good Pennywise, but yeah, that's not really like a person.
No. So this has been in like peril, this project, for like ever. Like it's been in and out like for like probably 10 years now, I want to say.
Sure, if not since the first one.
Yes. Well, yeah, maybe it is just cursed forever. But yeah, now it has a new director, and then now he's been cast finally, and then I don't know who this is. FKA Twigs. Do you know who that is?
I've heard the name, I believe. I only know her because she was like, you know, beat by Shia LaBeouf.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah. To be fair, I don't know what she does.
Oh, she's a singer.
But she's dated Robert Pattinson and Shia LaBeouf, and somehow I know this. Probably because of my girlfriend.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So she's a Grammy nominated singer songwriter.
Okay.
I've never heard any of her stuff, unfortunately, but so she is being tapped to play the girlfriend, I guess. And then Zach Baylin will be the director. There you go.
Bringing back the 90s.
Bringing back the 90s. 90s are in. All right. And now let's get into my quick review, because there's not really much to say, of Morbius, which I saw yesterday. And if you don't want any spoilers of Morbius, then don't listen to this.
I haven't seen it, but I don't know.
Okay, I'm not really going to spoil it. There's really nothing to spoil, honestly.
Sure. No, I know. Like,
that's the shitty part of it. Like, and I really didn't go in like expecting anything.
Sure.
Like, because it already, you know, it got bad reviews immediately. Everyone was like, this is the worst Marvel movie. Like they're comparing Jared Leto. They're like, Jared Leto made the worst DC movie with Suicide Squad, and now he's made the worst Marvel movie. And I was like, actually, technically, this is not a Marvel movie. It's a Sony movie, so you can't say that. But I also think the worst DC movie is Batman versus Superman. But regardless.
Maybe. That's a hard battle, but that bottom spot.
It is a hard battle. There's a lot of bad DC movies.
Yeah, and I can think
of bad Marvel movies or Sony movies.
Yeah, I'm going to, if that's a Marvel movie, then Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance is a Marvel movie. So
Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Sony one. Yeah. I like that movie is long and it's one of the most boring movies I've ever watched. Like
that's a depressing
movie. Better than that, probably.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so boring. Like it takes 1.5 hours before anything happens. Like they don't even go to space.
Oh, the Fantastic Four movie.
Fantastic Four movie. Yeah.
That's its own disaster. That's because they didn't like what they were seeing. So they said, you're not going to make the second 2/3 of the movie. Right. So like the actual movie, the whole movie is just the third of a movie, which that's, I don't know. You didn't need me to tell you, like, don't do that.
Right. Ugh. So there you go. Like that's so bad.
Okay. But it's better than that.
Yeah, it's better than that movie. Still, like I thought someone, I was just talking to somebody else earlier and they're like, these are the two worst. And then I was like, no, there's definitely worse. There's worse movies.
Yeah. Okay. Roger Corman.
That movie is way better. Well, I will definitely better. Watch that Fantastic Four movie again. At least that movie's fun.
Like, yeah.
Like that Dr. Doom outfit is like the best mask out of any of them.
90s Captain America. I've never seen it. He has like a motorcycle helmet.
I've always wanted to watch that.
With Big in Germany, David Hasselhoff.
And there's a Man Thing one too. I haven't seen that either.
Oh wow.
I know. I want to watch those for like a Mystery Science Theater like style.
Let's do bonus episodes or something. Yeah. Like go to the beginning of the first Marvel adaptation and just watch all of them, the bad ones.
Do that.
That'd be good.
All right.
I just got The Punisher from the library with Dolph Lundgren and I've never seen it. So
you haven't seen it?
No, I'm excited to watch.
We'll get to that. All right. Okay. Morbius stuff for now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So basically just to sum it all up. So Matt Smith is the villain, right?
Okay.
And in the beginning, it's basically like Jared Leto is like a kid and they're both of them are crippled. They have like some disease that they don't even tell you what the disease is. It's just like mystery disease. And they're both crippled and have some weird bloodborne disease where they can't walk. And you're like, okay, never explain it. Why?
Bummer kids.
Bummer. You're a crippled child. And like, for some reason, they also have like bullies that like beat them up because they're crippled all the time. It's like, you live in a terrible area. But like, and like beat the shit out of them too. So because of that, like Matt Smith grows up to be, you know, like a shitty human being and like wants revenge on the world. That's the only reason. And again, don't explain that. Like you just have to like assume that's why he's a shitty person and also gets rich, I guess.
Because he worked hard or something. I don't know.
I don't remember ever being told like why he had money. But that's a thing. So yeah, he's Jared Leto's rich friend and like supplies him with money to fund all of his research. And then eventually he goes to like a cave or whatever and finds his like vampire bats. I'm telling you, it is like the worst superhero science I have ever like been told in my entire life. They're like, why are bats strong? Bats aren't strong. How does he get?
Are they?
No, yeah. No, they are not. Have you ever seen a long bat?
I've never heard of that.
No. So he gets like, okay, so eventually, you know, he makes, we know sort of like super serum, whatever. He makes a super serum to give him this cure to his disease. It goes fatally wrong, just like in every kind of super story, right?
Sure.
And then he gets these powers, but he gets super strength. It cures him of his disease. He somehow is able to like teleport. Like he flies, but like he teleports like when he flies. So he's just like, like all across. Again, never explained.
And it makes him ugly.
Right. But it only makes him ugly when he needs blood.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, all, like, wow. Vampire-y.
Yeah. He gets like vampire-y and weird because he needs blood. If he doesn't drink the blood, then he gets like the lust, the bloodlust, which, you know, he gets all like Dracula like and vampire-y because it's from vampire bats, I guess.
Sure. Of course.
Right.
I don't know. That's less intriguing to me. I just thought he'd be ugly. I was like, cool.
Yeah. My biggest problem with the powers is like, why is he so, like, he is strong. Like he can break through walls, like cement walls.
He's got to fight Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, got to fight Spider-Man. But he is Hulk strong. Like that's how strong he is.
Weird.
Yeah, which I never got from the comics. I never got that he was that strong ever.
No.
So yeah, there's a lot of problems just like with that part alone. But like the biggest problem, I can get past like bad superhero science, I guess, right?
Even sure, we've seen that before.
We've seen it before. The worst part is there's just no character development at all in this movie. Like you don't care about these people. You don't care about like their stories. They're just boring. They're just boring.
How's Michael Keaton?
Oh, he's in it for literally 2 minutes.
Oh no. Okay.
Yeah. It's like the end of the movie.
Yeah. They just did that to get him in the trailer.
Scene. Yeah. That's the credit, the extra credit scene.
Oh really? That's the worst. That is like
even worse.
Slapping an audience in the face. It's in the trailer and then it's just the closing credit scene. That's horrible. Credits.
Yeah. We got to the end of the movie and I literally turned around. I was like, I didn't see Michael Keaton in that at all. And then it comes back and it's the Spider-Verse or it's the multiverse. And like, they show like a big, you know, like thing in the sky and it's like opening up and then like, he's in jail. Right. And he's like, how did I get here? What's happening? Ooh. And
so he's great for 2 minutes.
Right. He's good. He was. And then there's another scene. After that, it's very confusing. And you could tell this is what they were doing. Like, this is the added on scene that they had to do for, like, this, like, Superior Six stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, wait, we have to add this in so we can make this legit for the new movie.
Because, I mean, it's like, why isn't the Vulture in No Way Home? Because he got sucked into another dimension.
Well, this is what I was confused about. Because in the movie, and this is in the trailer too, Morbius goes, like, he's like fighting this guy, right? And the guy's like, who are you? And he's like, I am Venom, right?
Okay.
And I was like, wait, what universe is he in? Is he in the Venomverse or is he in like Spider-Man? Or is he in like the new Spider-Man universe? Because Spider-Man and Venom weren't in the same universe or until... In the last Venom movie, Venom traveled into, right? I know, it's very confusing. Into the Spider-Man universe.
Right, when we saw that in No Way Home also.
Right, exactly. And in this, in Morbius, Morbius looks at a newspaper and it says the Daily Bugle. And it has like this thing about Spider-Man. So which universe are we in?
I mean, I would just assume that it's the one that Venom came from, because why not? Yeah, but it also, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Sony's like not really like masterminding the multiverse thing. They're just like have some sort of agreement that they can do this.
Right.
Like mix it up. And they're all doing the multiverse, right? I mean, like Flash, it's the same thing. It's like
right.
Michael Keaton again.
Yeah. I guess it has to be the Venom universe. So basically, maybe Venom went to Spider-Man's universe and then Vulture came to Venom's universe, right? They like switch spots or whatever.
That'd be the simplest explanation, I would think. So let's hope for that.
Let's hope for that. And then but then it seems like Venom is trying to create the Superior or the Sinister Six Superior. The Sinister Six.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So, and then the Kraven movie comes out next year.
Just like, whoa.
I know. It's a lot.
That's the least, because like at least Morbius, I was like, that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Kraven? I'm not like... Kraven movie.
It's gonna be so bad. Like if this movie was this bad, imagine. And that's vampires. You can do some stuff with vampires, whatever.
Yeah.
They're living vampires.
Sure.
You still do something with it. The best thing about this one was Matt Smith's performance. He was the most interesting character. He's the villain. And Matt Smith is a great actor. But even that, like, there was only so much he could do. But Kraven, it's fucking...
Nobody's favorite villain.
Nobody's favorite villain, and he hunts animals. Like, no one wants to see that. I don't want to see somebody hunting animals. And if without Kraven, without Spider-Man?
Yeah, exactly. He could be a villain hunting animals, right? But it's like, he's the protagonist.
Right. No, I don't want to see... No.
Yeah. I'm, very hesitant on that one, too, but...
Yeah. So Morbius, big thumbs down. Don't see that. It also got the lowest cinema score of any, again, I say Marvel movie ever, which is, it's not a Marvel movie, so it's stupid. But it's even lower than the 2015 Fantastic Four.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
It was also playing in like 9 theaters that I went to go see it the other night.
I mean, it's a Marvel thing, so they're gonna make some amount of money just by it having the word Marvel on the poster and in the trailer, like, right. Unfortunately, I mean, Marvel Zombies are alive and well.
They'll pay to go, I guess. I mean, there was nobody in the theater when I went to go see it. So we had like 3 people there.
Yay.
But like I said, it was also playing in 9 million different theaters. So, I mean, I guess.
So spend your time reading some Morbius comics instead of watching the movie.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably better than that.
Do we have time to talk about the Batman?
Oh, we haven't talked about the Batman.
No.
Yeah.
I saw it a couple weeks ago when it came out, but I think I remember it pretty well.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
What'd you think?
I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Okay. I overall thought it was really awesome. If I had to like be critical, it would be like the third act kind of like bogs down a little bit. Uh-huh. But super into it. Like the beginning, some of the strongest opening of like any Batman, where it's like they'll never do it, but I could take a whole movie of just Batman versus criminals, no supervillain. Like,
yeah, I could do that.
You know,
I could just take a whole movie of Batman being a detective and not even having a supervillain, like him just fighting crime and being like helping the police figure stuff out.
That's kind of what I meant. Like, him solving cases, but like, it doesn't need to be like this, you know, it could almost be like Goodfellas, like chapters, you know, little arcs sort of thing. Because he's like Michael Myers at the beginning.
Yeah.
For them. Like
it's a shadow.
It's so good. He's scary. So scary. Oh. Great moments. Paul Dano, like so good.
Zoe Kravitz. Jim Gordon. He was like the best Jim Gordon ever.
I don't even know your name, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know you, dude. I think he says that.
Yeah.
I don't even know you, man. That's right. What it is.
And one of my favorite, this is such a small detail, but one of my favorite things is when he takes off his cowl and he's actually wearing the black makeup underneath.
Yeah.
That was one thing that angered me so much was when they take it off and there would be nothing underneath. And it's like, where did that makeup go?
Yeah. And
it's a time to take a makeup wipe and like wipe it off your face.
They've all had it since 89. You know, Adam West, okay, he can do it. He can take the cowl off with no black. But
yes.
He'll have cocaine on his nose, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really great. I loved Robert Pattinson's emo take on it. Like, he's just a real sad, even his Bruce Wayne, just a real sad Bruce Wayne. He didn't change it up. He didn't change his voice. Like, he was just, you know.
Oh, the Bruce Wayne was like very realistic and like,
yeah,
you're like, oh, this is maybe even not him acting as Bruce Wayne. He's like, really can't do this. He cannot like engage with people and like,
yeah,
he's broken.
Yeah, he's broken. Exactly. Yeah, it's a real year two.
Yeah. And I like his voice, how he portrays him, which is not like he's not doing a voice. He's just like whispering.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't have a voice changer yet or anything like that. I really like that too.
There's a lot of like, yeah, just the Zodiac angle. I mean, all of it. It's just, I don't know. It was him being, it was the most, this is not opinion. It's like the most Batman movie that's ever been.
Yeah.
He was Batman.
Right.
Like,
still not, I mean, 89, like I said, I just watched 89 Batman again yesterday. That's still probably my favorite Batman, just because it's, I think, still the most comic booky of the Batmans.
It's super comic booky.
Yeah. So when it comes to that, like, you know, the city, everything, just Batman or Gotham, like, still just looks the most like the comics, and I'm still hardline on that. Yeah. And I mean, Jack Nicholson as a Joker, like I got to watch that extra credit scene. I don't know if you watched that with the Joker, the new Joker.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just too creepy to me. I want the Joker to be a little more like Mark Hamill Joker or Jack Nicholson Joker. I don't want him to be like, he's too scary.
Well, see, to me, the key is most of the time,
yeah,
he is Mark Hamill and Jack Nicholson Joker, right? Where you're like, ha ha ha. Or you're like, oh, this guy's fucking creepy. And then he grabs your face and is like screaming and laughing in your face and like bites you in the neck or something. Exactly. And you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. And then he goes back and then he's like, that was hilarious. And then he's laughing. And then you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And then it's so unsettling and so unnerving that way, but not like sliced up face and like, you know, I don't know. That's just like too, it's like over the top to me.
I didn't like that angle in particularly, though I do think what they're doing with the Joker is interesting because it's like, he might not even be one of the villains ever.
Right.
I could see that if they do a trilogy or something, like,
I hope so.
And yeah, I would love that. Or it's like he does, like, and he's in every movie, right? Yeah. They go to Arkham, they talk to him, but he doesn't ever need to be the villain. We've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it. He's just in the background. I would love, I mean, I think the director, he talked about it. Matt Reeves talked about it briefly. He said he'd love to do Clayface, which I would love, but like a more grounded Clayface. Yeah. And I would love to see that because he's like the crazy actor that's just like applied too much shit to his face and it's just like melting off. And like,
you do like the Darkman thing to bring Darkman up again, where he can like make different faces.
Because
he's a crazy actor.
Yeah. And it fits with social media too. You could even do that with social media with filters and stuff, right? Like change your face. And I think that's a great idea. So I hope they do something like that, do something that we haven't seen before instead.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like my initial hopes, which was for a little crazier version. Like, I don't think I'm getting Man-Bat as much as I would love to see that.
Which would be great, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I want Hugo Strange castle fortress on an island making animal human hybrids and then just have him make Man-Bat instead of its own thing, you know? And then you get Hugo Strange, which we've never seen.
We haven't seen. He was in Gotham, but yeah, he hasn't been in the actual movies yet. So
they could still do Mr. Freeze. Strange.
He said Mr. Freeze. Yeah, it was Mr. Freeze and Clayface. So fingers crossed.
Could you do Ivy? Like, I was having a conversation about that where it's like, you could, the thing that's hard to take is the like controlling plants, but like mind control, pheromones, like all that stuff, like, or even creating plant like zombies is more believable than like controlling plants to me.
Yeah, all of that is definitely possible. Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I'm in. I love Matt Reeves, so
definitely in. All right. I think we've done it.
What do you think? I think so.
All right.
And we didn't end on a down note with the Morbius.
No, thank God.
We have to talk about Batman.
Talk about Batman.
Our Bruce theme. Wayne. Bruce Wayne. That's like my favorite moment.
And more Alfred too next time. That would be good.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for your continued support. Hopefully, no more COVID. And we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, you want to give some plugs?
Oh, yeah, plugs. God, what's coming up at the store? Thursday. Oh, Free Comic Book Day is on the first Saturday in May, which I believe is actually May 1st this year. Cool. So be sure to come to that. We will have some more announcements for that soon. So stay tuned, special guests and whatnot, but always free comics. So be sure to come to that. Cool. Other than that, you know, always follow us on our Instagram at Escapist Comics, at Escapist Comics on Twitter, at Escapist Comics on Facebook. Yeah, all of that.
All the things.
Oh, and we have a TikTok now, which is...
Whoa.
Yeah. There's actually videos. There's videos of people TikToking. We are...
That would be good.
Yeah.
You could showcase a book every single every single TikTok or whatever. Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff you could do.
I did like two of them, and then I was like, I don't do this. I'm not young enough to do this. That's why I handed it off, and now they all do it. The young people at the store control the TikToks, and I watch them and go, "That's cool."
Yeah.
Follow us also at TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then you can follow me on Instagram at Robert_NEGOESCO, at Robert Negoesco. That's where I post my comics work and updates on everything that I'm working on. Also, you can search that name on YouTube and follow my YouTube account. I have been posting tons of videos and lots more coming up. Been lots of irons in the fire. I've said that before, but it's a big fire.
Big fire. Oh, yeah. Also follow me too at Jessa Balboni on my personal accounts if you want to see me post about my comic and beer and stuff.
And we love comics and beer.
We do. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon. And remember,
Escape into comics.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.